I work in a men's facility as well, and of course men forge powerful friendships and relationships with the other men that they are doing time with, but it does not have that family structure mm-hmm. in the same way.
Yeah,
I was going to ask about that, because I made this documentary about kids in the system, and there was one girl who we followed who was kind of our central character, and she talked a lot about that, her family, uh-huh. and always with that language, even within that system of younger girls. Like, it was all about these incredibly strong relationships that they formed with each other. And they still talk. You know, she'd been out, like, 2 years, and she still kind of knew where they were. And a lot of the girls afterwards would kind of hang out together because they were in similar parts of the city. I thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's capacity and opportunity to, like, I mean, you alluded to it, kind of using that in a structural way at a prison to actually make the experience more valuable to women if at the end of the day what we're doing is rehabilitating? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have you guys seen programs, or is that, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
kind of using that nurturing quality that women have to.
Yeah, I think that happens really naturally and organically.
Okay.
I think what we need is fewer women in the system in the
right.
first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really, you know, sure that can be manufactured. I work with women after they're out of prison, mm-hmm. and they maintain those relationships when they can. It's really interesting that those who are on some type of paper, which is parole or probation, are discouraged from associating with anybody in prison
right.
or anybody who's ever had a criminal conviction, which is absurd, considering the fact that 70 million Americans have a criminal record on file. But they have clauses in these probation and parole agreements that if you're caught associating with a known felon, you can be remanded. So a lot of the stuff we do doesn't make sense, and that's something that can be easily fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we need to manufacture relationships, because I think they happen organically.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with Vivian that our absolute first focus has to be on putting fewer people into confinement, and that's true for women, for men, for boys, for girls.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very interesting. I spoke once with a woman named Kathy, I think her name was Doheny, and she was in charge of the Massachusetts correctional system for a time. She had been a warden of men's facilities. She had been a warden of women's facilities. And she said, it used to take me 3 times as long to cross the yard in the women's facilities that I ran, because woman after woman would come up to me, and she would want to talk to me, and she would want to interact. She would have questions. There would be
right.
a whole host of interactions, because women are more highly relational in a series of ways. Virtually no correctional systems other than Washington State mm-hmm. have adopted fully gender-responsive policies or programs. My own opinion is that the vast majority of the roughly 200,000 women who are currently in confinement could be sent home tomorrow with no threat to public safety, as long as there were some resources in the community to keep them safe and accountable for whatever transgression they had. But if we're going to have women's prisons, they should account for those differences of gender, and
yeah.
they should have different policies and different programs.
Alternatives to incarceration, you know, having women getting services
mm-hmm.
in their community, being able to stay at home, especially for, you know, first-time offenders or drug crimes, things that are often not seen as something where it's a threat to public safety. Is that, I know with kids, that's a huge thing, and actually those kinds of efforts have been hugely successful in kind of the community-based alternatives to incarceration. Is that something we're seeing with women, and is it widely accepted? Are those programs being adopted? Is that happening?
I don't think they're being adopted as widely as they should be. We
yeah.
have there are some breaking points in our empathy capacity, and
mm-hmm.
so, you know, for some children, you know, we have more empathy, and we're willing to acknowledge that kids, you know, deserve very specific and different
in terms of putting fewer kids into juvie prison.
The proof is in the pudding. You know,
have
those worked really well
in the juvenile justice and, system
you know,
in terms of putting
better
fewer
results
kids
into
juvie
prison and better results
have worked
for
really
the
well
and
run
know,
by
and have gotten better results for the
there are some good proving
and,
points
and
out there when it comes to adult women in the system
by.
In terms of diverting people out.
There are some good proving points out there
when it comes to adult women
to
addiction
in terms of diverting people out.
But far
alternatives to incarceration and sometimes even alternatives
could and
to
should
conviction.
Benefit from those programs
but
than do.
Far and the gatekeepers for those decisions tend to be
could and should
district
benefit
attorneys
from those programs
and
than do.
And so we need
and the gatekeepers
more district
for those attorneys
and judges
tend to be
to elect
district attorneys and
to
judges
and put
so we
women
need
into
more
diversion
district
programs
attorneys
work,
and judges
and
to
advocate and actually clamor
to
for more
of
those
diversion
programs,
programs
you know,
that
work. Basically,
and
really
to advocate
and
actually
more district
clamor
attorneys and judges
for
to become
more of those
part
programs,
of the demand
you know,
for basically and
what
say
we really
I
want is for more district attorneys and judges to become
other
than
the
prison
side,
or jail
and say
right?
I
to do
want
my job.
Things
yeah.
In
yeah,
my
and
toolkit,
I just
want
to make it perfectly clear that
right?
when these
to
tools become available,
yeah.
whether it's
yeah,
alternatives
I
to incarceration, alternatives
make it
to conviction,
clear
that when these
tools
there is
become
such
available,
whether it's alternatives to incarceration, alternatives racially. To conviction, and that is, there is such
what that means,
disparate impact in the prison system
the number of
racially.
African Americans
and
Hispanic,
to explain what that means, at larger
the number of
is not African Americans population commits more
who
crimes.
Are incarcerated
it's because
of the way
at larger
they
percentages are arrested,
not because
prosecuted,
this population
and sentenced,
commits
more
right?
crimes. It's
that
disparity
of the way
filters down
are
into
arrested,
alternatives
and
every
and
other
sentenced.
Mechanism.
Right.
So until we
that
start addressing that
filters
disparity
down
into alternatives,
we can build
and
more
every
alternatives
other mechanism.
And more
so
until
options.
We start addressing
but
that
it's about what's happening here. And be honest,
we can
about
build
the
more alternatives
into the
more
options
of our structural
but
history,
there's still
going to
be disparity
which
we can't deny. Of course,
so
we don't want
to
always blame everything on it,
history,
but we can't deny that
which
our structural
we can't deny,
history
of course,
has
residue.
We don't
want
to always blame everything on it,
all of our
but we can't deny that our structural history
these
has
disparities are very well documented.
That filters
and folks like Cy Vance, who is speaking at this conference,
have
these
done the work
are well
of inviting
documented.
Scrutiny
like
of
Vance,
you know
he's responsible
for the
Manhattan
conference.
DA's office,
and he
done the work
invited,
of
inviting
you know,
scrutiny
of you know,
rigorous investigation of his
office's practices,
and he invited you know,
charging
in the first
place,
rigorous investigation of his
office
and punishment. So, in other words, who gets charged?
Charging,
what kind of plea
you know,
deals do they get
the
offered?
Place,
because the vast majority of people
and
punishment. So, in other words, who
and
gets charged?
What kind
of plea deals do they get offered?
Because the vast
and
majority
they found
of people
across
plead.
The
board
that,
you know,
and
the,
similarly
kind of
situated defendants
down,
of different
races
and they found
will
across
be
the board
treated
that,
differently
you know, and that
similarly
you know, defendants
situated
of color
defendants
are
more
of different races,
you know,
both in terms of plea deals
treated
and
differently
in terms of punishment.
And
you know, defendants of color
the
are going to be treated more
harsh. Alternatives
you know, both in terms
programs.
Of plea deals and in terms of punishment.
And that applies to folks who are offered alternatives or diversion programs. Very, very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically,
the
more fortunate
folks are the ones that are always very, very clear.
Yeah. Basically, the more fortunate
folks
are
the ones
to get in the first place, even though someone else may need those second chances far
yes,
the
more fortunate,
look
at women and girls in the system,
the more fortunate you are, the things that drive their ultimate incarceration or system involvement, even though someone else may need
mental
illness,
this sky high
incidence incarceration or system involvement, victimization or other physical
violence.
Mental illness.
And so
the
we're talking about
the
women and
girls
who are already the most
sexual victimization or other
community.
Physical
violence.
And our response
and so
to
we're
it,
talking
to
about
the
women
and girls
who are already the
most
marginalized
is far too
in
often
our community
to put them in a
and our response
and the,
to it to
at
the
problems time
that they have
that they were victims
is
before
far too
they
often
ever became
to put
convicted
them in
criminals
and
no one
at
addressed
the time
their victimization that they were victims before they ever became convicted criminals that's a huge no one addressed their victimization.
Yeah.
And
one of the things that's getting far more attention
that's
is the fact
a, that's a huge, huge
of
very
problem.
Significant
so,
differences
yeah.
when it comes
one of the things that's
like,
getting far more
you know,
attention
the resolution
is of homicide
the fact
cases.
Of very
so
significant
homicide
differences
is one of those
crimes
like,
which is
perhaps
you know, the
resolution
sometimes
of
homicide most likely
cases.
To get
focus
so homicide
from the criminal justice system in terms of solving
crimes
and getting to an outcome
to get
which is satisfactory. Focus from the criminal justice system
like
in terms of
LA,
solving crimes and getting to an outcome
closure
which is
of homicide cases
when the victim
is African-American.
Like LA. It's hard to imagine in other communities, which are more fortunate and where the skin color is different,
willing
that anyone would tolerate
to
that kind of a clearance disproportionate rate on homicides.
People of color.
But we're far
and
too
come home to
willing are poor people and disproportionately poor people.
Kind of a perception of, and you had used this phrase earlier, Vivian, I liked it, that some people are deserving perpetrators of crime.
It is how
is
we
so
deal with poverty.
Our society.
It is how
this
idea of the deserving and undeserving. It is how we deal with poverty.
The bootstrappers.
It is how we deal with
almost bootstrap
every deserve
public policy.
Help.
Like
and some people,
I
the hard
you,
workers,
that was
the
how
bootstrappers,
I was raised,
and
I
pulled themselves
it.
Up by their bootstraps.
I believed it until
and
the day I got locked up.
I swear to you, that was how I was raised, and I believed it.
Or
I believed it until the day I got locked up.
There's no
and
deserving and undeserving.
We all deserve that.
We all
when a
deserve
needs human
intervention
dignity
or
and
help
compassion
or
and
the things that we say as a nation
or
we believe
forgiveness
in.
Or redemption.
All
there's no deserving and undeserving. We all deserve that.
Deserve
we all deserve to human dignity
healing.
And compassion and the things that we
all
say as a nation we believe
perpetrators
in.
Deserve a chance
all
to prove themselves to be better people than the act they commit.
Deserve.
And we as a society need to
healing.
Understand that
all
perpetrators, not
perpetrators deserve a chance
and all pe-
to
prove themselves to be
to
better people than the act they
to
committed.
Represent them in court.
And we as a
what
society
we know goes on
need
in fraternity houses and
that
know that 80%
guilty
of
people
yeah,
are not
like
in prison.
That
right.
charging rate
prison
doesn't map to the actual
yeah.
80%
know,
of people who are accused of a crime in this country are too poor
but some
to
people are more heavily policed
to represent
some people
them
are much
court.
More likely to be charged.
So I think all of us can reflect on
I think
our own
one thing
lives
that has made Orange
the lives
is
of
Black
people we
Netflix
know
series, so
what we know goes on in fraternity houses
popular.
And know that 80%
of
people you know like that that charging rate doesn't map to the actual
and I think I mean I've wondered balance
of
I can't remember.
But some people are more heavily policed. Some people are much more likely to be charged. Some people are much more likely to be punished.
Do you
think one thing
that
has changed in any way
the
conversation is so compelling and so incredibly popular is the complexity of the characters,
opening
the backstories, the facts of their relationships with each other.
I'm right about my own experience and the things I experienced
and the
things I witnessed
and
my crime and you know the punishment for my crime.
People in prison that people loved
was
this
that
much.
Someone might be able to put themselves in my shoes,
in
the reader, and identify with me as a protagonist. And I felt
that
our ability to identify with
the
2.3
right
million
about people who are locked
my
up
experience
in this country
with
the
things I experienced and the things I witnessed and my crime and you know the punishment for my crime
and
engagement
with the criminal
justice system.
Our capacity
that
to recognize
someone
our
might
common
be able
ground
to put themselves in my shoes,
those people
the reader,
is incredibly
and identify
and
with me as a protagonist.
So
and
happy
I felt
about the adaptation from
our
the book
ability
to the show
to identify
is the fact that you have this
incredible array of protagonists
people who are locked up in this country.
Somebody in that show that anyone can choose to identify
kind of
with and really invest themselves
the
emotionally and hopefully
our
intellectually
capacity
as well
to recognize our common
by
ground
the way, that
with
is a
prisoner.
Those people.
And so that recognition.
And I think
common
what's
ground
what makes
that
me
you
so
are
hyped
happy about the adaptation from
the
book to the
show
is
in
the
more
ways
than
you
imagine.
Array of
protagonists. I think a very important
that
sort of
somebody
in
that show
you know,
that anyone can choose to identify with
it's,
and really
it's
invest themselves
calls,
emotionally
Stevenson
and hopefully intellectually
right?
as well.
You
and by the way, that person is a prisoner. And so that recognition
for,
that you have common ground, that you are like those 2.3 million people in more ways than you imagine, is, I think, a very important sort of
crime is
you know, head and heart
we have to be honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they come, right?
It's what Brian Stevenson calls,
I understand
Stevenson's
people's
natural tendency
to
want
to
back
away. But when you are able to have empathy for
proximity to
me or to Piper or
want
to
be
other people,
around
and you get to
people,
understand that there's
so much
conviction
more
because of your
to each
understanding of
than
the
of
worst
that
thing
that
they
means.
Ever did.
And part of that is
then you're able
the media's
to expand
fault
the
way
crime
is perceived
to other
media.
People. We have to be honest about that.
And
I
do you
mean,
guys,
they cover mostly only the most horrific crimes in the most horrific way, and it's on a loop for 48 hours, right? So I understand people's natural tendency to want to back away. But when you are in,
I mean, that hasn't
when you have proximity to me or to Piper.
Are,
or to other people,
does it feel
and you get
tangible,
to understand that there's so
real?
Much more
talk to, me a little
to
bit about
each individual
that.
Than the worst thing they ever
it feels
did.
Surreal
then
to
you're
me.
Able to expand that.
I've been doing this work
I started advocating for women in prison while I was
a
prisoner. I
became the move to reform
There's even a democratic process among prisoners. So I was elected the inmate liaison. And so I began my advocacy career then. And over these past now almost 20 years, I've seen so much change.
It feels
there's been a significant
to me.
Amount of change certainly in the last 6 years.
I've been doing this work.
I literally started advocating for people.
The new Jim
women
Crow
in prison
out,
while I was a prisoner.
Orange
I became
the.
Black,
where,
there,
those
there's
of us who
even
were directly impacted
democratic
and
process
had less privilege
among prisoners.
We're
so
literally
I was elected
beating
the
pavement,
liaison,
beating the drum.
And so I began my advocacy
career
about
then.
The damage that was being done to our community.
Over these
about
past
the need to reinvest
now
money into the
poorest neighborhoods,
I've seen so much change.
And the tipping point that Todd Clear
talked about
certainly
in the last 6 years, but I think
so many
resources
from
the community and put them in prison.
You are damaging
the new Jim Crow came out before
in worse ways than if you had never imprisoned
those
of us
who
were
directly impacted and
yes, we're seeing tremendous change.
But I want to give
we're
credit
literally
to
beating
all of
the pavement,
advocates on the ground,
beating the drum
on the street,
about
the
reform being needed,
about
the damage
advocates
being done to our community,
many, many
about
years
the need to reinvest
popular,
money into the
despite
poorest
lack of resources, lack
and
of empathy, lack of everything,
and the
we
tipping
were
point
the pavement,
that Todd
so
Clear talked about that
who are out there,
point
could
extract
so
many resources
from
a community and put them in prison. You are damaging that community. In
I mean,
worse
right.
ways
I mean,
than if you
color
had never imprisoned
crying
those people.
Out, have been
so,
advocating on
yes,
this
we're seeing tremendous change, but I want to give credit to all of the advocates on the ground, the people on the street, the grassroots
so
advocates who fought for many, many years before it became
now.
Popular.
I think finally, like,
and despite lack of resources, lack of empathy, lack of everything, we were beating the pavement. So any of you who are out there, kudos. Hey, Marlon.
I think it's important, though, for everybody to know that we're talking about the criminal justice system. We're not talking about
yeah,
those
right.
people over
I mean,
there.
We're talking about us
disproportionately
people,
right? like for decades. Part
and
of
so
the picture.
There's a host of reasons
because
why
a system
the issue
gains more
that
now, I think,
is
finally,
not a
like we've just
system.
Long past a tipping point. We can't afford what we've created socially, morally, economically.
So
I think it's important, though, for everybody to
Let's
know that when we're talking about the criminal justice system, we're not talking about those people over there. We're talking about us people.
We've got a mic coming
like,
up for you. And please
you.
Wait
part
for the
of
mic
the picture
to come to you.
Because
hey,
a system that privileges some people's safety and freedom over other people's
with
safety
the race situation,
and freedom
the Stanford
is
rape
not
case,
a justice
which everybody's
system.
Aware of. Mm-hmm. I just want to get your thoughts on the decision there and ramifications of that. And second, for right. Piper.
So, thank you.
We're,
Let's go ahead
we love the TV show, Orange is the New Black.
And, wait for
and
the
then
mic
there's been a lot
you.
Of discussion
I'm
about glamorization of prison life from the TV show. And is it really
one,
reality?
What you guys were talking about
glamorized
with the race situation, the Stanford rape case, which everybody's aware of.
Thanks. I just want to get your thoughts on the decision
there
I and
don't want to comment on
that. And second,
Stanford
for Piper,
case.
We're, we love the TV show, Orange is the New Black. And then there's been
a
lot of
a
discussion about
everywhere.
Glamorization of prison life from the TV show. And is it really reality or is it glamorized prison life? So
the show is entertainment, obviously, and it's not documentary style.
I don't
want to
comment on
this Jim is doing something sort of more
case.
Interesting and more creative and more provocative than to simply say, you know,
injustice
is,
anywhere is a threat to justice
not,
everywhere.
Yeah, it's just not documentary style. Nor is it a biopic.
the show,
astounded. Is entertainment, obviously, and it's not documentary style.
Prisoners
it,
and former
Genji
prisoners,
doing something sort of more
but also
interesting and
correctional
more creative
workers,
and more provocative than to simply say,
all up and down
you know,
that
this
hierarchy.
Is,
who
this is not, yeah, it's just not
get in touch with me
style.
In some way
no
or another.
Biopic.
I talk to them, see them, and they say, it's amazing how realistic this is.
I
so
am
it's really
astounded
to me that I hear
by
that so much
the
from
volume
sort
of
the other side of the wire, as
yeah.
it were, that I hear
prisoners
so
and former
much
prisoners,
from correctional
but
workers,
also correctional
about
workers,
correctional officers,
workers, all up and down
or,
that,
you know,
that hierarchy.
Other people who work in the system. Okay,
it's amazing
so,
how realistic this
while
is.
While it is not a documentary
so it's
style
really
show,
to me that
I hear that
fundamental,
so much from
some
sort
of the fundamental
of
realities of the experience
or
of incarceration
or,
and
you know, or,
other people
you know,
work
motherhood
in
prison.
So
I feel like
while it is not a documentation, and
of
course the through lines, whether it's we're talking about prison privatization or
job. at presenting some of the reality.
You really
of the
wanted
experience.
To ask a question. Give one sec here.
Thank you. It's. We'll have I read your book
you really wanted to ask your
few years ago, and
one
Alisa
thank you.
Piper,
it,
and I was
I read
very
your
impressed,
book
and it really changed
few
my
years
perception
ago,
and
Alisa,
of the reality
Piper,
of women and I was very impressed, and
it
really changed my perception of the reality
my question
of
is,
women
is anyone
prison.
Actually,
and I think of it, trying to change the way
my
women
question
are
is,
treated
is
in
anyone
prison?
Actually to
trying to change
the
way the
women
are treated
and also
in
to
prison,
have strict rules about
to
how to
teach
treat a woman,
the officers,
the chef,
and also to have women in a hospital.
I'm a nurse.
How
you know,
to shackle even when she's shackling,
bringing
women
mean,
in a hospital.
Horrifying.
I'm a nurse. You
it's
know, shackled even
happen.
When she's pregnant.
So,
I mean, those
are there
me,
some
committees
horrifying.
Advocating
it's
some reform in the
happen.
System.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a great
are there
question.
Some committees
I wish I could give you a
advocating
really
some
answer.
Reform?
But the reality, we come back selves. Are disinclined and and basically don't have a significant incentive to do better for those women or girls who are in their custody. And so there is increased focus on the situation for women and girls in the system. I would not say that there has been a huge amount of progress. However, you do have to look at a place like Washington State and certain other facilities or sometimes even wardens who have committed to doing a better job. There may be maybe some better prospects on the reentry front in terms of focus specifically on women and girls, but you know, we need to really think long and hard about the incentives for those systems,
right.
Or again, back to Vivian's earlier point, closing those doors and saying, why do we need women's prisons at all, right?
So some really good work has been done on the conditions that would be better for women in prison. And the National Association of Corrections actually has an annual conference focused on gender-responsive issues in prison. The federal government, the Bureau of Prisons, has finally acknowledged that women are different than men. So I think it doesn't get made without a whole lot of groundwork that comes before. And then, of course, the big policymakers and stuff figure out what the community is demanding and gives it to them, and then stuff happens. So I think we're right in the middle of that process. We have
some examples of policies or facilities that would cater to the needs of women prisoners.
Policies
or facilities that would cater to the needs of women prisoners specifically.
I often reflect on the fact that, you know, worst case scenario,
starting
things
that are, make up the biggest
part
of your conception
of gender
end up being,
you know,
the most
worst case scenario,
part
the things
of your incarceration.
That are, make up the biggest part of your conception of
things
gender
like
end up being the most
not to get gross
of
it,
like
part
no,
of your incarceration.
Feminine hygiene
so,
products
things
available.
Like
or
no,
not
searches.
To get gross here, but
yeah,
like,
in other words,
no,
you know, those
searches and
hygiene
products performed by
available.
A male officer
or
which searches,
even for
you know,
someone
words,
like myself
you know,
who's not
those searches
who's fortunate enough not to be a survivor
by
a
of
male
sexual
officer,
violence,
is not
which cool.
Even for someone like myself who's not who is
shackling
of not
pregnant
to be a survivor
women
of sexual
and
violence,
even women
is
in
not
labor,
cool.
If you can imagine being
shackling of pregnant women and even women in labor.
If we've seen some improvement on the most horrific
while
examples,
you gave
and
birth.
Some improvement
yeah, so
on
we've
sexual
seen some
abuse
improvement
and exploitation
in
horrific
confinement,
examples,
and some
improvement
around the
implementation
on
of
sexual
the
abuse and exploitation
Act, which,
in,
by the way, took
confinement
10 years
around
to
the implementation
start to be implemented
of the Prison Rape
after
Elimination
passed,
Act, which, by the way, took
so
10
on
years
the most fundamental
to actually start to
I would
be
say
fall into the category of
sort
of human rights abuses. So
I would say
on the most
fundamental
things that
there
are
prisons
fall into
like
the categories
of human rights
abuses
or
the
Tutwiler
I would say
for women in Alabama.
Though there are prisons like the Lowell
that are
prison
still
for women
hellholes.
In Florida
or the Tutwiler prison for women in Alabama.
System-wide, you know,
on
some
on
those fronts,
that are still hellholes.
We've seen progress.
The more
but
sort of
system-wide,
front,
you know,
for,
on some
you know,
of those
what
fronts,
need,
we've seen progress.
Through,
now, the
system
more sort of affirmative
includes
front
includes
facilities
you know,
that are built in such a way that acknowledge
through,
some of the unique needs
system.
Of women. And
staff
for
facilities
really
that are built in such
a
way
trauma
that acknowledge
the vast
some of the
majority
of women
under their
sort of care
and staff
were
really trained to understand the
so
kinds
that,
of trauma that the vast majority of women under their sort of care and custody that are have experienced
not
so
work
that
well with women.
There's certain very and often practices that sort of, and corrections you know, that are
a lot of women in the system
were single maternity and off incarceration.
Yeah,
and
so
recognition of the need for a recognition of contact maternity and often that sort of
institutional
a lot of women
investment
in
making sure
that single heads
of household prior to
incarceration
happens in
and
a way
so
that is
recognition of the need for parental contact.
I interviewed a correctional officer last week.
Institutional investment in making sure that that is possible and happens
said,
and happens in a way that is appropriate
he
for
talked
family.
About how,
and many
how
times
much
they
that
are.
He was a 30,
yeah, I interviewed
almost
a correctional
veteran
officer
working
last week
whose son
and
was
talked about how he was
treated
not
in the
so unusual
because he didn't
by the way.
Self-identify himself.
And he
and,
said...
yeah, he said it was eye-opening.
He talked about how he did in the visiting room because he didn't self-identify himself.
That he got there.
And yeah, he said it was eye-opening.
Thank you.
Not to us. But
I would love to ask kind of the... maybe the other half of the equation, which is that if... we're able to I would improve love to ask things kind of for the, women and girls. Maybe the other half of the equation, which is that if for men we're and able boys, to improve in the system.
Yeah, I would certainly not advocate for making improvements in the system for women and not making those same improvements for men. I think it's important for us to look at the system as a whole, but address those gender specific things around women. But certainly I am for massive transformation of what we have. I just came back from the opening of a launch program at the Vera Institute of Justice called Reimagining Prison. And it was so hard for all of the people in the room to totally throw away what we have now and come up with something brand new. We were all trying to fix what we have.
She said,
and that's just, you know, a lack of imagination. So someone came up with a great suggestion. She said, why don't we just get a bunch of
so
seven and absolutely, I believe the whole system needs transformation.
May I reflect on that question around parental relationship?
And so
about
actually, if you get
behind,
you know,
closed doors
and talk to correctional leaders
that, like,
or correctional workers
about
female prisoners, they will often
but then someone will say, yeah, but if we implement those programs and policies,
and we should do
then
this,
a guy's going to sue.
But then someone will say, yeah,
we'll
but if we implement those programs and policies,
and I'm like, right,
then a guy's going
to
sue.
And we'll have to do it for all of them.
Yeah, right back here.
And I'm like, right, you should do it for all of them.
I will work with a... group that offers legal services to state prisoners in New York.
I have worked with a
really hard time
offers
legal services to state prisoners
to whatever we do.
We have had
now,
a really
there are
hard
different
time
circumstances in gender.
Women
there are not different
to whatever we do.
But generally
now
there are different circumstances in gender
that
there
prisoners
are not differences
face.
But generally
and we can't reach
in legal
women
issues
we've tried letters
that prisoners
we've tried
hotlines
face.
Is there something
and we
in your
can't
experience
reach the women
that would make
we've tried
women
letters we've tried
confronting
is there something
legal
in your
issues,
experience
yes,
even things like
that would
good
make
time
women different in confronting
so as
legal
said
issues,
earlier
like,
yeah,
even things
the
like
whole
good
system
time
is built to control people's behavior. So with as the Piper said violence earlier, the whole and system in a women's is prison built, to control the level of behavior fear with the threat that of violence. Female and in a women's prison
have for
the
authorities
the
that
level of
have
fear
control over them
that is magnified.
Prisoners have
there
for the
are
authorities that
have
control
in
over them.
Each prison
is
that
magnified.
I was in two.
There
are
over
the course of
in
my three and a half years.
Each prison
years,
that I was in, I was
there were
in
a certain
two
number of women who were
over the course of my three
a little
and a half
bit
years
less afraid.
There were a certain number
a little
of women
bit more education
who were and would coach women
just
how to
a little bit
less afraid.
You know, had a little bit more education
behavior of
and would coach women how to contact a lawyer when they needed
you know,
to. But without
the
those
misbehavior of
those few
officers,
women can't address
or
contact a lawyer
in the facility,
when they needed to.
You can really
but
only
without
address those, the problems of
those and
on your
those
unit
few women
you
can't
just
address
walk
everybody's
free
problem in the facility. And I think
you
that's
really
part of the
only
address
what
the
you're
problems of those
that
on
women
your unit
don't
you
have
you can't just walk around
because
freely
they don't.
They're afraid.
And I think that's part of
a lot of
you're saying is that
women
don't
have
access
because
they
don't
even
understand
afraid
number
one.
And a lot of women
they don't have
extremely low levels of education
help
may not even understand the legal
mail
they're receiving.
I think
and if they don't have someone
issue,
to walk them through the process and
legal
help them,
concerns
they're just not going to reach out. So I think education is a huge issue where
yeah,
addressing legal
absolutely
concerns are.
You know, I teach
concern.
Nonfiction writing in a men's prison and a women's prison, right?
Absolutely.
Same class.
You know, I teach.
We read the same books.
Nonfiction
which are all
writing
by men's prison
incarcerated
people
prison,
or people
right?
who work
same,
in the system.
Same class.
And we read
exactly
the same books,
50, 50
which are all by
authors.
Formerly incarcerated
and then my
people
or
people
who work
their
in the system
own
stories.
We
their
read
own true
exactly
50-50
male
stories.
And female authors.
Both men.
And then my students
and
write their
worked on
stories, their
own
true early in the class.
Amazing.
Were some of the classical story structures around
protagonist
in the game early
and
in the class
desire
were some of the classical story structures around
protagonist
and the basic building blocks of
desire
story.
And agency
and I would say
and antagonist
I mean,
both and
conflict are
fantastic
the basic building blocks of story
and I would
ways.
Say I mean
both
but
groups of students
at the beginning
are fantastic and
getting
wonderful
the
in
women
myriad
to
ways.
Adopt
but
that story structure
at the beginning
for their own stories
getting
was more
the
challenging
women
than the men.
The men
to
just took to
adopt like,
to
that
like,
story
water.
Structure.
You're like, of course I'm the hero
for their own
story. More challenging than the men.
The men
and the
just
women,
took to like
you know, the women are quick studies.
Like, of course
so
I'm the hero.
Got
of
the
story.
It, even
right?
And the women,
you know, the
women
are quick studies, so they quickly got it.
But even after they adopted that sort of classic
they still require a lot of encouragement
to heroes
and write about their lives in terms,
they
right?
still
like, this
require
is a
lot
of encouragement
story.
To
My
think
story is a
and
big
write
story.
About their lives in
and
epic
again,
terms,
that comes
right? Like, this is a big
story.
My story is a big story.
I do think there
and
is this
again,
fundamental
that
naturally
to
the students that I have in the men's
way
facility.
That women have
I do
been
think
conditioned to think
this
about
fun
their own
lives. And of course, when we're talking about women and girls,
way
the
justice system, we're talking about
think about their own lives, and of
marginalized.
When we're talking about women and girls,
there may be even a
greater
system we're
talking
about.
To
the
recognize the value of your own
girls.
Life.
So there may be
and
even
to
a greater
and your own sense of agency
to recognize
to
the value
and,
of your own
claim.
Life. And to
so,
and
yeah.
your
the
own
number
sense
of domestic
agency
abuse
and,
survivors
you know,
who are in prison is astronomical. And some of them
so,
have
yeah.
never
the
reported
of domestic
abuse survivors who are in prison is astronomical. And some of them have never reported domestic abuse
themselves,
but come from
as
abusive rising above that
and
from their own strength
adds
to what
having
is big and
just
can't
see
themselves as rising above that from their own strength and having it big and having it
when
having
got
impact
over,
public policy. It's a common problem.
I was a federal judge for 17 years. And what you're talking, and I left the bench so that I could speak. I was a federal judge for 17 years.
To get clemency
and what
for
you're
the people
talk, and I left the bench
I
so that I could two things
work,
in response. To get
rehabilitation
for the
didn't work.
This was a sentence. Product of the 80s. Rehabilitation didn't work.
Two
and
things
in response
we didn't
to our
question
try,
about how we
and
got
that
here.
Was in concert with
a product of the 80s.
The
rehabilitation didn't work. And
there's
therefore,
also a false
we didn't
equality.
Bother to try. And that was
the
in
notion
concert
that
with
somehow
the, with the
you couldn't say what you're
there's
saying.
There's also
now,
a false
which
equality.
Is women, the sources of
the notion
crime
that somehow
and the sources
you couldn't
of women's
say what you're saying
now
are different.
Which
than
is women,
men.
The sources
and the
of women's
crime
crime
made
and the
us
sources
treat
of women's
the same
recovery
drug quantity
are different
than
men.
The man was distributing
and the false
us
equality
as if
made
same
us treat
as women
the
women
same drug
and
quantity
not asking any of the questions.
Man was distributing
crime
as if
so I
couldn't
ask
questions.
Women
drug addiction
and not asking any of the questions
of course
matter to women.
Accounted for so much.
So I couldn't ask questions.
The relationship
drug addiction
between the man
didn't
and the
matter.
Woman in the crime,
and
the pecking order of the crime,
for so much.
Didn't matter.
Or at least
the relationship
what we were
between the man and the woman
their
in
role,
the crime, and the pecking order
minimal,
of the crime.
But
did say
matter.
That the role was minimal,
or at least that's
was
what
not
we were
saying the same thing as she
say.
Was being beaten.
Their
by the
role
man.
May have been minimal, but
all
to
of the
say
things
the role
that matter
to
the
difference
between
saying the
men
same
thing
and women
as
being beaten
up
by the man.
That's not going to change until we change that.
All of the things that matter
structure.
To the differences
to
between
the
men and women were not
I
part
remember
of the sentencing
a case
calculus
of
on the
that
a woman who was structure
guarding
the
point that.
And her
drug, I remember
the
a guidelines
were enormous.
A woman who
and during
was
during the course of
the guardian's
argument, it occurred to me,
and her drug,
that
the
was
guidelines
an issue.
Were enormous.
And we
and
had
during
to
the
suspend
course
the
proceeding
of the
to
lawyer's
get that
argument.
Examined.
It occurred to me.
So think
the
federal
that was
system
an issue.
Simply doesn't
we
pay
to
attention
suspend the
to
any
to
of
get
the
that
meaningful
examined.
Issues that you're
so
talking
the
about.
The federal
and if the system
that the
simply
front end
doesn't
pay attention
to
any
of
the
meaningful
issues that you're talking about.
So the
amount
of sentence
that the front end doesn't pay attention, it's small wonder that the prison system doesn't pay attention either. So the amount of change is enormous.
Thank you. Last question.
Thank you. So here's my question. In this current iteration of criminal and juvenile justice reform. Thank you. So here's we've my heard question. A lot about and we in know this a lot current about iteration of human criminal and juvenile justice reform. We've been able to successfully we've heard a apply, lot about and we know a lot in terms about of international human rights principles court, that we have been able to successfully advocacy. Apply. I'm curious, though, are there specific international human rights issues around incarceration or the response about that?
If you're talking about looking at this from a human rights perspective, I don't know, but it's really interesting that the point where everybody's willing to recognize the humanity of people in prison, so I think that's a first step, and then applying those human rights principles is a step, and maybe international law against the first step, and then applying those human rights principles. The problem is that the most horrific things law against the prison are already against about the treatment of women. The problem is that it's just that we can't figure out how things that happen to women in prison are already against United States law. It's just that we can't figure out how to stop them from happening.
I don't think we have any more time. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.